I want to, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, whenever it fell into the hands of the Philistines, they could handle it any way they wanted, and it didn't seem to matter. They could touch it, they could move it, but when God's people took possession of the Ark of the Covenant, if they didn't handle it correctly, the consequences were pretty bad. You know, the one guy reached out on the cart to stable it when it was going to fall, and he died. It was funny how when the Philistines handled it, I don't want to say God didn't care, but it didn't seem to be a big deal. But when his people who understood and were supposed to know better were in possession of it, God wanted them to handle it just right. And communion is sort of like that. This is an opportunity. I'm going to read, we always read the passage out of 1 Corinthians 11 where we quote the words of Jesus, but I'm just going to take a minute and I'm going to read the few verses in front of it and the few verses after it. And just to make the point, I suppose, of how important communion is, how solemn and serious it is. And it's one of those things that I never want to take lightly, because it is something that God set as an ordinance in the New Testament church to help us. And you'll see why it's going to help us in just a second. I'm going to read this. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, you're not doing it for the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before the others his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, don't you have houses to eat and to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? No. For I have received, this is the part we always read, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why do I want to read that whole passage? Because before the passage we always read, the Apostle Paul is pointing out some things that are going on in the church that need to be fixed. And then after the passage we always read, he's talking about the consequences, and again, I don't want to get heavy here, the consequences of doing it unworthily. So two things. I think when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to do it with some degree of introspection. You don't have to spend 20 minutes trying to find junk that you have to repent of. I'm going to ask that in the next, 30 seconds or so, that we just honestly go before God. And if there's somebody that you need to forgive, or if there's something you're doing that God wants you to stop doing, or something you're not doing that he wants you to start, you don't even have to, I don't even think God is looking for us to say, yes, I'm going to start doing right today. No, I'm going to stop doing wrong today. Oh, I'm going to finally forgive that person. I believe with all my heart that God just wants us to go to him, acknowledge where maybe he wants to make some adjustments in our lives. And I'll use forgiveness as an example. There might be somebody you need to forgive, and you're sitting here this morning and you just don't want to forgive them. Just be honest with God about that. He can take it from there. He's big enough. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to kick you, and he's not looking to punish you. But when we partake of the Lord's Supper, God, I believe, is asking us to be in a place of honesty between us and him about the good and the bad stuff that's going on in our lives. Okay. There is a weak and sickly thing there. I've never been 100% sure what to make of that. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord's Supper is an opportunity for some degree of, I don't know, I'm going to call it spiritual reorganizing around our lives. It's a chance to reset, have a clean slate, be in that spot where the grace of God that we're so dependent upon can flow towards us without restriction. So I'm going to turn this off in a second, and I'm just going to ask if we could take 30 seconds and just give God 30 seconds to show you a couple of things that he might be asking of you. Amen. 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 And if God didn't show you anything, ask your spouse when you get home. Amen. Father, I thank you for the opportunity you give us to be up to date with you, to have a clean slate, and to walk in the fullness and freedom of life that you've ordained for us. Amen. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Mm-hmm. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen. Amen.
We actually can do what he just said every day, is take some time and reset. So this morning, we, of course, Pastor Dave and Carol are away again. I shouldn't say it like that. Enjoying a vacation, we need to keep them in prayer. I want to pray for Tony today. Maybe he'll be getting out pretty soon. He's making progress. Randy's making progress. So, Father, we thank you for good reports of progress. Lord, and people who need a touch in their bodies, and Lord, we pray that you just continue and complete the work. Lord, we pray that Tony would get out of there like really quick, and Lord, that you would just do a quick work in him, and Lord, that you'd restore Randy completely to where she's able to get out and fellowship with other believers in a better way. So we thank you for all of that, and we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning I just felt like there's a really sweet spirit in the place today. I just really want to thank the Lord for gracing us with his presence today. It was very good. And so we have a special speaker today. It's Judy, who's my wife, is going to be speaking. I'm not sure. She put outlines or her PowerPoints on the back. If you didn't get one, we can get one to you. I'm not sure, but I think her message is centered around the five most wonderful things connected with being married to a great guy. I think that might be her message. I don't think it's her message. Anyhow, Judy, why don't you come and share the word with us? Here you go.
He balances that safety with everything that we're going through. But he does. He keeps us safe. And, you know, and we know James 6:33? I'm not sure which verse that is. You know, that we will have challenges. You will have tribulation, you know, in this world. But, man, when we get to heaven, all of it's gone. We don't have to fight anymore. We don't have to stand on the promises of God. But in this place that we live right now, our confidence should only be in God. Our confidence can't be in anything else. It can't be in the degrees. It can't be in the jobs we're holding. It can't be how good we are at anything or, you know, how good we are with relationships with people. It can't be. Our confidence has to be in God only. And we've got to see our help coming from Him alone, in His way, in His time. Because we would like things faster. At least I would. And so we have to comfort ourselves in the hardest and the most difficult places. And I know that many of you have had that hard and difficult place this week. But that is the time that we need to comfort ourselves when the dangers are ever present and they seem to be the greatest we've ever faced in our life. The Lord Himself, with His catch of wisdom, and He and His power, He works for the safety of those that He loves. Just read that psalm. That psalm is the one that starts, I look, you know, I raise my eyes to the mountains, but it's a question mark. From hence does my help come. I love to be on the mountains, you know that. But my help and my confidence has to be in God alone, because He is always the guardian. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is never weary. He is always with us. He'll care for us and He won't let us fall. He is our keeper and our shade. In that psalm, it says, you know, the sun won't hurt you by day and the moon by night. It has nothing to do with how the sun hits us. It has to do with 24 hours. That's how we tell time by the sun. 24 hours a day He is with us, walking with us, protecting us. And he is preserving our souls. No matter what we go through, He is with us. And He has to be our confidence alone. So anyway, I want to go, the place that I want to go is, would you open the first slide up, Adam? I'm just going to give you a few nuggets that you can take away with you today. And in the back on that tall top, what do they call that? Whatever that table is that's tall, there's the PowerPoints are printed out on it if you want them. If you don't, just leave them there, okay? So we're gonna look at Ephesians 5:15 through 21. That's just a short little place, okay? But before all of that, if you look at Ephesians 4 and 5, oh hey, and welcome back all who have been on vacation, okay? We love to see your shining faces. These chapters before this, they talk about the Christian walk and how our understanding was darkened and we were ignorant before Jesus came on our scene. And we had, you know, impurity in our life. We had greed. We put ourselves before others. We would, steal. We would, not work. We'd be lazy. But along the way here, it says we have to, our mind needed to be renewed. And it was. We see that in Romans, in the beginning of Romans chapter 8. Is that right, Tommy? Romans chapter 8? I thought so. So if it says here, that if you're angry, deal with it. Take care of it before the sun goes down. And I thought, I love the way you did communion, because that's exactly what we're talking about. Looking into our own lives and seeing if there's anything that needs to be corrected. If you're angry, take care of it. Don't gossip. Don't tell us all the deals about the neighbors and everybody else that's doing us wrong. If you stop, stop stealing. Steal no more. If you're lazy, go to work. Let your words be edifying. Be kind to one another. Use discernment in our friendships, because we are children of light. Start acting like it. That's what chapter 4 and 5 say before we get to Ephesians 5:15. Go ahead, Adam, change the next tab. None of us knew how to use the clicker, otherwise I'd be doing it. I already did that. Okay, I'm going to show you, and you may say, Judy, you're a little OCD. Nobody's ever, suggested that I might be, but afterwards I thought maybe I am, who knows? I'm not really, but I'm just saying. I looked at three versions of the Bible, okay? NASB, because that's what I usually use. I looked at NIV, and I looked at a new one, the New Living Translation. How many of you like to read something like the New Living Translation or the New International Reader's Version? Anybody like to read those? Okay. We like to read them because I think that it's because, and I looked at this in my New American Standard, and I thought, you know, they go on and on in a sentence, okay? And I don't want to accuse these writers of having long run-on sentences, but sometimes they're long, and the words are words that we don't always use today in our normal language. And these reader versions or these new translations, I think I listened to the New Living Translation when I'm listening to the word in my earphones, if I'm walking or doing something like that, or sometimes even in bed, always in the car, you know? And I have to listen real careful because sometimes I feel like they just don't get it exactly like I want to hear it. And not like I want to hear it, but the version that I'm listening to or whatever. And I'm going to show you what I mean, okay? I'm sorry for all the color, too. I love color. So Ephesians 5:15 says, so then, be careful how you walk, okay? All the blue in all three versions are going to be the same, no changes. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. That's really true. And therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It says here, do not get drunk with wine. And Curtis read where some people come to the, you know, to the table and they're drunk. And you know what? When we come to Christ, everything doesn't change immediately at that point. We grow. Some of us grow quickly in some things. Some of us don't grow so quickly. But okay, therefore do not get drunk with wine in which there is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. You know, we sing all those kinds of things. Even today, we did our choruses and we did the hymns that are so old and everybody in any church will recognize even if they don't know the words. So sing in spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Father. Okay, so do the next one now. So this is the New International Version, not the Reader's, but the New International Version. So it just says back where, what was the word? It was, Judy. Okay, wait a minute. I might have highlighted something. Be very careful. So both the NASB and the NIV say careful, very careful. Okay, this one says, and when we get to the New Living Translation, it'll say a similar thing. So here, where it says, therefore, don't be foolish, both the NASB and this one say that. The other one says, don't act thoughtlessly. And I kind of thought, thoughtlessly doesn't really give you the punch that don't be foolish does. Because in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, God really does clarify. He really talks a lot about foolishness and a lot about the wise. Like, be wise, be wise, be wise. He just keeps hammering that home to us to be wise. And then this debauchery, okay, that's the NIV. The NASB says dissipation, and the Living Version says it will ruin your life, okay? And I kind of thought, you know, debauchery and dissipation, those were kind of old words, right? So dissipation just means self-indulgence, wasting away, profitless activity. How many times, you know, we can't just look at, like I kind of thought, I don't want to just look at drinking wine, because a lot of people do that. You know, I may not do that, but other people do that. And the little word in there is drunk, okay? So sometimes you can drink wine and not get drunk. But what else do we do that is a profitless activity? Something that brings no profit to me. It might seem fun, I don't know, but it's not what God wants me to be doing at the time. And I think that's probably the place the New Living Version said it'll ruin your life. You know what? If all I do all day long, okay, is I get on Ancestry.com and I try and figure out my family tree, and that's all I do all day long, it's going to bring me to ruin because I am not doing what God wants me to do. And if you're doing Ancestry, I'm taking the extreme all day long. Nothing else. I'm not spending time with God. I am not singing, you know, in my heart. I'm not praying for other people. I'm not doing my work around the house. I suddenly got lazy. I'm sitting at a table. Okay, I don't do that, but I'm using an extreme. Well, sometimes I do lose hours, you know, so I'm using a very extreme example, so don't get on my case. And you know, that debauchery part too is like extreme self-indulgence, okay, that it contradicts spirit-filled living. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what he calls us to, is live in the spirit, walk in the spirit, figure out what the spirit wants us to do at every moment that we come to. So go ahead, Adam. You can change. You can go past the next slide. We don't have to look at that because I complicated things a whole lot. Okay, I have four takeaways that I want you to walk away with today. That's the only reason why I printed out those things. And you guys don't have to follow those things. You can look at them later. Okay? But anyway, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And the Holy knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the closer we get to God and we know who He is, we begin to understand the things that He says in the Word to us, and we can walk in His direction, in the way His direction goes, how He directs us, who He directs us to. Okay? We're not to fear human threats or people's opinions about ourselves. We're not afraid. We're not to fear objects or to fear the Lord. We are to fear the Lord. But, you know, our fear of the Lord, I think, is more of a reverence and an awe and a respect for Him. But that reverence and awe, I think, is like, just like Curtis said, you know, that Ark of the Covenant, when it would come to the Israelites, they were to do according to His directions and be obedient to His will. You can't take somebody who doesn't know the Lord and hasn't repented and expect them to be obedient to the will and the direction of the Lord, okay? It's not going to happen. I mean, you can expect it, but it's not going to happen. That's the way I should say it. But believe, you know, we want to believe that God is our refuge and the one who helps us. He's the one who helps us to overcome fear and the threats that we might live through in our daily life. Or the threats your dear mother or, you know, your brother-in-law or your sister live through. We don't want to fear that. We want to pray through that. And Psalm 46 says that He is our refuge and our strength. So we don't have to be afraid to go to God. The fear of the Lord is something that we want to embrace, and we want to embrace it in a very reverent and awe-filled, not awful, awe-filled way. And so Psalm 57:1 says, I'll take refuge in the shadow of your wings until disaster passes. Psalm 71:7 says, you are my strong refuge. And that word refuge means a fortress, a hope, a place of trust. Okay? I want to tell you about three people. They're all short little things. Three people who I highly respect, okay? And they're people who we see or hear from pretty regularly. Our own Pat back there. When you say, how you doing, Pat? He's got struggles in his life, some that you don't have. And you ask him, how does he feel? And he says, I have never been better, you know? That is what he tells you all the time. And that I've never been better, he faces his challenges without complaint, and he doesn't give long explanations about his challenges, as if I need to know all the personal details. God knows all things, and he can urge us to pray. When we're praying at the end of this service, the parlettes are going to be up here and probably a few others. And when they pray, and they pray for somebody, we don't have to tell them everything. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit is going to tell them what to pray for. That's part of the Spirit-filled life. We just like, God's got, when we're walking in the Spirit, God's got a direct plug into us. And He's going to tell us and direct us and lead us and guide us. And it's going to be good, okay? So God knows all things. So after you hear about, I've never been better, He will return to the promises of God. This is Pat, okay? Stick with me. And he might quote something, but He is the rock that He stands on. Then there's Paul. Paul is an extremely dear friend of ours who served with us in Africa and now works for Samaritan's Purse. He's got a little different twist to it. He uses strenuous exercise. This guy used to be a skinny little thing. He's still little, but he used to be so skinny and frail looking, and he has like built up these muscles. He uses strenuous physical workouts to face his lung cancer, and he communes with God, doing everything that he can do, both nutritionally and health-wise, to utilize nutrition, you know, everything continues, but he continues to do his work for the Samaritan's Purse, and he keeps going to Africa. Man, I couldn't do that. Then there's Bob. Bob is doing everything that he can do to control his years-long constant physical pain. And when he just can't do it alone anymore, he gets on the phone and he calls somebody. How many times do we do that? Do we get on the phone, call somebody, and ask them to pray for us rather than waiting for somebody to come and pray for us? You know what I mean? Okay, so go to the next slide. God is our starting point. He's got to be our starting point for everything. And that's what I just shared with you. We can't let all of the other struggles that we have be the place where we jump into life. We got to go to God and let God be the place where we jump into life. That's number one takeaway. Number two, go ahead, pass it. Number two is seek wisdom, okay? And James 1:5, I didn't do it. Didn't put the verse up there for you. Let me just do it. Anybody else got it? Okay, James 1:5. Oh, duh. Okay. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Brain hasn't worked perfectly this week. Okay, so, he tells us in there, if any of you lacks wisdom, and God says, pursue wisdom in the Old Testament and other places, all kinds of places. Just look up the word wisdom and see how many times it's used in the Bible. Lots. This is important. So he tells us to pursue wisdom. Now, the word wisdom, it's changed over the years. If you go back to a dictionary from, I guess dictionaries were printed in 1800, I don't know. But we certainly English was spoken, and there was a definition, a widely accepted common definition for wisdom. If you look at that one, as opposed to 1900 and 2000 and now, boy, I bet Gen Z and everybody else has really changed up that word. But so you might think it could be a daily advice for living, advice for daily living. Being knowledgeable. But you know what? Being knowledgeable, that really is not wisdom. A lot of people still think that that's wisdom, just having knowledge. But God says knowledge with understanding is wisdom. So being supportive of the common good. Living a good life, being compassionate, doing no wrong, being moral and modest. Wisdom is gained from life experience. I don't think so. I've seen a lot of people who get old and they still are not very, they're not wise. You know, they still live in a crazy way. Ability to observe and use intuition. That's interesting. Reflection and reasoning. There's all kinds of definitions. But listen to Proverbs. Go ahead. I think it's on here. The next one, Adam. Proverbs 4, 5 through 9. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And the only way you can get understanding is to know who God is, know what he says, keep that ruminating in your head, you know, like in the crock pot, boom, 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 all the time. Okay, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you. A lot of times in the Old Testament, wisdom is like a, it's personified as a woman. She will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Are you willing to pay that price? Get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. We all know people who are wise. We all may know multiple people who are wise, and you can look at them, and you can listen to them, and you can be around them, and you can realize that they have paid the price to get the wisdom and understanding, that they've got it. And if we continue to fear the Lord, we will gain wisdom and understanding, and we will heed, if we heed God's reproofs and corrections. Because that's what it's going to take. Understanding that sometimes, you know what, we open this mouth and we should have kept it real tightly closed. And that, right there, can be a point of understanding if we heed the... Because when I realize, oh, I shouldn't have said that, that's God. That's God, the Holy Spirit, telling me, don't say that. Don't do that. And so... if we will walk in humility and listen to God's counsel, to his reproofs, to his corrections, then we, in our lifetime, there will be people who look at you too and say, you're wise. They may not say it to you, but they honor you and they listen, you know, and they respect you. Remember our little square there. The third one is redeeming the time, okay? Go ahead, P.S. Redeeming the time. redeeming the time to me means capitalizing on every available moment and every opportunity that God gives me. It doesn't matter where it is, if it's on the job, in the grocery store, in school, you know, in the clubs, the various clubs. I bet that if you asked everybody here, what kind of clubs do you belong to? There'd be more than we'd expect, okay? Everywhere God gives us opportunities. And during that time, we have to fix our mind on not living like fools, but living as wise people who will redeem the time. Psalm 20, why did I look at 90 and say 20? Psalm 90, 12 says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We only have so many days in our life, and we don't know whether our days are 40 or 60 or 80 or 102. It could be 20 or 19. We have no clue how many days, but God knows. And he knows, he holds that. Psalm 31, 15 says, my times are in your hands. Another one. You know, I'm going to live until I die. And when I die, it's God's time. He calls me home. We don't know when that is. But while we have today, we need to act like we're going to live for a long time. And we need to be busy doing the work of the Lord. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies and from those who pursue me. And that's what we got to ask the Lord for, that he would help us to redeem every minute, every hour, every day, every year that we have left in our life. And the next one, go ahead, change it, Adam, is spirit-filled living. Okay, spirit-filled living. So far we've had putting God first, we've had gaining wisdom, redeeming the time, and spirit Spirit-filled worship. But you can put Spirit-filled living in there too. And maybe I should have done that. I don't know. But Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, the end of 18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking, making music to the Lord in my heart. And I thought, so when I sing, I need to make sure I'm singing words that are correct, biblically correct. Okay? And thinking about those words, and if we approach our both individual worship and our corporate worship from a place where we are hearing what we are singing, and we're pondering some of those words as we're singing them, we have to respond to the Lord. How could you not respond to the Lord? And you know, our response can be many, many things. Worship is absolutely a recognition of who God is. We said we start. Number one place that we start is who God is, and He's first, and He is the one who has infused life in us, and He has a purpose for our life. And we sometimes our worship, we have to recognize who God is, and our bowing before Him in honor and reverence. And sometimes it's a physical thing, not always, but sometimes it's a physical thing where we bow down or we kneel or we raise hands or we do some outward motion that, you know, that just shows that it's God who we are worshiping, none other. He is the holy God at that moment in time. Sometimes our praise is loud. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's personal at home. Sometimes it's corporate like this. And whatever it is, we praise His nature, His goodness, His mercy towards us. The attribute, sometimes we recognize His mercy. It's an attribute, you know, His holiness, you know, His ability to be everywhere and be our protector, our keeper, our place of refuge, you know. But sometimes it's a quietness that we sit and we, you know, we worship Him in a quiet place, in awe of who He is. And then sometimes it's a tarrying, a waiting. We don't say that word much anymore, but a tarrying, a waiting for a word from God, from a direct, some directive thing, you know. And sometimes it's an awareness of our sin and we need to repent with tears and receiving forgiveness because He's always ready to forgive. So I've known a lot of people, lots of people in our 50 years of ministry that who feel justified to hold grudges against people, refusing to forgive, expecting some other brother or sister or somebody else to come and apologize for a wrong that he feels that you've done to him or he's done to you. But God only calls us, you know, and we make a big deal about processing all this stuff for years and years and never come to a conclusion. But God says, forgive. That's it. Forgive. It doesn't, my husband preaches this, you've heard him preach it. It doesn't depend on his response to us or her response to us. It does not depend on her changing. It just depends on us coming to a place and saying, God, I will forgive. I will forgive. And so, and just taking these things, just picking them all up, all of this resentment that somebody has, you know, picking this up and taking it and putting it up there at the foot of the cross and saying, God, help me to forgive. I'm having a hard time here, God, but help me to forgive. And so that is the message I wanted to bring today, you know, just for us to remember. And sometimes I thought, you know, but most the people in our congregations, they're all saved, Lord. They've all been walking this Christian life for a long time. But sometimes We forget. And sometimes we just know it, but we don't do it. You know? And so here we are again. And some of these things, they matched, fit in so well with communion today. We just want to get right with the Lord, you know, and make God our starting point, seek wisdom, and the Spirit-filled life. And what was my third one? My third one was redeeming the time, because that's a really important thing. Don't waste time. Don't let it go. So I would like to call up the worship team, and we are going to, and at the end, we're going to have the Parlettes and anybody else who is part of their little group to come up here, and they're going to pray. They're going to pray. If you need prayer, you can see them, okay? But we are going to sing, the last song that we sang today again. And I know this is different than what we usually do, but it's okay, right? We can do something different. We're going to sing, "I Stand in Awe of You," because that's a really good worship song to thinking about everything begins with Him. Nothing really good happens without God. God has got to be in, you know, you work the puzzle of your life over all the seasons of your life, and when you get to that last piece and it's missing, you know, you don't like that. That's because that last piece, it should be, I guess, the first piece, but I'm just thinking in terms of, you know, something you could see in your mind. You put that last puzzle piece in, and everything is beautiful. Everything works out. You know, all of the toil that you did to get there was only because of God. He's the one who directed from the beginning, and He is the beginning to end, Alpha Omega. Go ahead.
Let's just stand together.
You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp Your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of Your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. And
we thank You this day, Lord, for everything that You have spoken to us, Lord, and we pray that we would take these words, carry them with us, Lord, and remember, Lord, that You are our starting point, Lord, and we are looking to gain wisdom from You alone, Your wisdom, Lord, Your direction. We want to understand the things that You tell us, Lord, and we pray that You would help us to redeem the time to work as missionaries among the people, Lord, who we find ourselves speaking to throughout the week, Lord. And Lord, most of all, help us to live and to worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord, and we bless You this day. Lord, send Your people on Your way, bless them in every way, and we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And we will have the prayer team up here. Go in peace.